We're in the book of John, chapter 11. In going through the passage a couple weeks ago, I saw I'm going to need 2 weeks for it, and today's the second week of what I did last week. And so John chapter 11. I do want to mention also a good friend of mine who I went to Dallas Seminary with. I think he's one of the most brilliant Messianic Jews alive, a guy named Avner Bosky. He is so brilliant. I love this guy. And he's worked with us in Chosen People Ministries. And when we graduated Dallas in 1983. He might have graduated 83 or 84. He and his wife went to Israel back then. They're from Canada, Jewish believers. And Avner and Rachel, we sing some of their songs. And he's such a theologian. He's so brilliant. And I got a text from him a couple months ago that he's available on February 8th. So Avner is coming to speak to us on February 8th. And I look forward to that very much. Avner Bosky, you'll be really blessed by what he has to say. Okay, so we are in John. I think that's enough for my schmoozing and talking all about that other stuff. Okay, conference all covered. Good. All right, here we go. So last week we were mentioning in John chapter 11, I said there are certain things in life we could be sure of. And I said death and taxes. That's what we got. Death and taxes. But then I said also we could be assured. All of us could be assured you're going to have troubles, problems, difficulties. Life is filled with them. All of us have all of them. And there's a phrase in the Bible that says that such is common to man. Your problems are not to be belittled or made small. They're common because we all have them. The most difficult of problems, the most difficult of sicknesses, illnesses, disease, cancer, financials, children, spouses. They're common in the fact that they're to all of us. They're not so common when they're personal and they come to us. So you can be assured that you have problems. You're going to have trouble, folks. And I don't want to, goodbye, amen, have a good day. Okay. No, you're going to have trouble. But as believers, we have to realize that our eyes, as King Jehoshaphat said, our eyes are focused on you, Lord. As Moses said, stand still, see the salvation of God, which you will see today. You and I have the assurance that God is in control. God knows your problems and difficulties, even though at times it appears that he doesn't. We are all the same. At times we go through life saying, Lord, where are you? I'm in a big, big trouble, and you're silent. And God sometimes holds back and he's silent. He's always there, and we can trust him. And that's what we see in this. So we saw here what we saw for the last week and this week is what I call MI, main idea, that we should trust and serve God. That's what you're called to do. You're not called to question God, although we're human, so we question him, and we doubt him, and we have troubles. But we are here to serve and obey and trust him, no matter what we go through. And that's a hard thing for God to say to us. He said it to Job as well. We are to trust him, serve him through the difficulties because God provides for us. And he can deliver us. I could have said, will deliver us. And his three boys, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, as those three boys said, God can deliver us, will deliver us. We don't know how he's going to deliver us. The boys were ready to give their lives, and they would be delivered. So we don't know how God's going to deliver us. So I purposely put, he can deliver you from the current situation, or he can deliver you through it, however you want to take the word. All right, I'm rambling. Here we go. So we're going to have troubles. First, he said, our lives are filled with problems and difficulties, tests and trials. I told you one of the verses I do not like is Genesis chapter 22, 1. Moses, I don't know if he's 120, 130, and it says, and after these things, Lord, you know, Moses, what are you saying? You mean at the end of his life? After his whole life? Then it says, and after these things, God tested Abraham. Lord, it's enough for the tests, you know. The tests are over when, the Lord says, the tests are over when I take you home. But God is always committed to making you more like Yeshua, to develop us. Always trials and tests. And we said, our problems, they came to Yeshua's friends. Everybody. There's no one's exempt. Chapter 11, verse 1. certain man was sick by the name of Lazarus of Bethany and in the village of Mary and Martha's sisters. This is the Mary whom anointed the Lord with ointment. And it says, your brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. The idea there is that everyone gets troubles, whether you're God's enemies or whether you're his friends or you're his chosen ones. We all have struggles, and that's what we were mentioning there. And we mentioned that we all have struggles. John chapter 11, verse 4 is a review. But when Yeshua heard this about Lazarus and Mary and Martha, he was away. He was away from, he might have been in Jerusalem, there about 2 miles away in a little town called Bethany over the hill of the Mount of Olives. There's Bethpage and then Bethany about 2 miles out. They're outside, and Yeshua's in Jerusalem, and they come to him, give a message, your children, your Lazarus, Mary, Martha, your friends, he's sick. Quick, run. And John purposely puts it this way. But when Yeshua heard this, the sickness, he told them, he, first of all, it says he stayed there extra time because he knew he was in control. He knew what he was going to do. But then it says, when Yeshua heard this, he said, the sickness is not, I like this, will not end in death. And I, when I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, in the passage, it's trying to tell us, don't be in gloom, don't be in despair, don't be in sadness when you go through the difficulties. It's not the end all. It's not the end of with all your trouble, though it might seem that way, whether it's finances or whatever it might be, or sickness. It's not the end. It's all for the glory of God. God gets the glory. It's all the problems here in John. He's telling us there's a few purposes in John. One is to glorify God. Two is to tell you, whatever is in this book, is to tell you that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God. He's the Messiah, he's God, Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. So all the problems we see John gives us, and he's speaking to us, is for the glory of God. And Yeshua is saying, this sickness is, don't be sadness and despair. And just, there's hope. As long as you're a believer, there is hope. And so he's saying, the sickness is, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified by it. Yeshua, God, gets the glory. Then we mentioned the difficulties came to them. Difficulties come and crisis in all our lives. No matter who you are, no matter how great you are, and I listed the heroes, Abraham, troubles. Jacob, troubles. Joseph, trouble. Job, trouble. Job, such godly people. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, the three boys. There's trouble. There's no exceptions. There's no exemptions. We all have it. Then we went on. Problems come to everybody, I said. Then we said, Yeshua is in control. And that's hard for us. It's hard for us when we go through the difficulties, the darkness, the troubles of life. It's very hard sometimes to see he's in control. We're not in the kingdom. We're not in the millennium. Everything is going to be great. We're not there yet. So it's hard to realize he's still in control. There's no surprises. Whatever you might think, there's no surprises. There is to us. Yeshua is in control, and he provides for us, and he knows your needs. And then we mentioned, Yeshua knows our needs and our problems. It's no surprises, no obstacles to the Lord. God's will get done. And then we mentioned, finally, John 11, 6. So when he heard this, that he was sick, he then stayed, this is what I was saying before, 2 days longer. I would think Yeshua would rush out. He stayed 2 days longer. Why? John's telling us he stayed 2 days longer to tell us Yeshua knew what he was up with. He knew that he was in control. He knew what he was going to do. He's trying to tell us that God is in control. He stayed there 2 days longer in the place where he was to prove that he's in control at all times. His will is different than yours. His timing is different than yours. His plan is different than yours. It's hard for us. We have to say, okay, I got the wrong focus. Usually I find with my struggles and my problems, it's because Larry wants something, because I have an agenda. If you can get to the neutral spot and say, no agenda, Lord, not me, it's not my desire, whatever you want. If you can get to that point, you have great peace because you know he's in control. But usually our troubles are because we want. Same thing with husbands and wives. You get in trouble because you want. What you should want is God's will and the other person's blessings. Yeshua is telling us, God, get into the center of God's will, trusting him. So that's where we sort of left it off last week. Yeah, we left it off in John 11, I think it was 16 there. Thomas said, who's called Didymus, and we all know Thomas is the doubter. We shouldn't know him as the doubter. We should know also that he had faith and he trusted and believed in God, though he was human and he had some weaknesses. Here he said to the disciples, let's go with Yeshua. Yeshua says, now we'll go to Jerusalem. He says, let's go to Yeshua that we may die with him. This man was ready to die, give his life. So Yeshua knows we have problems. Yeshua is in control. These men, these disciples, had an idea of who Yeshua was. I mean, they saw him do the miracles. They saw him change the water into wine. They saw him heal from the distance. They saw him heal the paralyzed man, 38 years. They saw him heal the blind man, raise the dead. They saw him do it. They had an idea. They were in the boat. On the Sea of Galilee, when the storm and the waves are over their head and he's sleeping. I don't know. I often try to figure out how in the world could he sleep? But Yeshua's sleeping and they're in trouble and they cry to him. And Yeshua says, guys, you have small faith. Waves down and off of there. And then they look at him. And this is where we close this week. Matthew 8. What kind of man is this? Who is he? That even the winds and the sea obey him. And I think they might have had an idea if they didn't know. We know Proverbs 30, verse 4, one of my favorite verses. Who has ascended into heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? God. It's all speaking about God. Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? Tell me. Surely you know. So Yeshua, we said, is in control and he provides. He knows your needs. We go on. If you're in your outlines, it's Roman numeral 2, I think, B. God is in control of our circumstances, whatever they might be. There's, like I said before, no surprises with God. God knows, he cares, he has a plan, and will provide for us. When we are only called, and I mentioned, I think, four things here. One, we are called to obey and serve, trust and believe. That's what I wrote down here. Believe, trust, obey, and serve. Not question and doubt. But I'm not making light. We're human, and we do. We question and doubt. I want a couple verses that show Yeshua is in, God's in control. They're just comforting verses that really speak to me. One of my favorite verses that I discovered, believe it or not, was in the Bible a couple years ago. I remember when I first saw this, just a couple years ago, I said, oh, the Lord must have just put this in. Because I've never saw it before. So in the last couple of years, the Lord threw it in for me, but he opened my eyes to it. But it's a comforting verse. I just love it. Whether for correction, which we all need, or for God's world, managing, governing his world, or because God loves us and is so faithful, God causes it to happen. Isn't that amazing, that verse? God causes it. That means he gives life. Takes life. God causes that, whether it's for his world, for my correction, because God loves, God causes it to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13. I don't like it. Many people don't like it, but it says, no temptation, no problem, no struggle has overcome you, but such as is common to all of us. It's common to all mankind. Difficult for us. But God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So when you're going through the temptation, it feels like we can't handle it anymore. God will give you the strength to do it. It's God's strength who does it. You can't will this up and say, you know, God has to give you the strength. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation, the struggle, the problem, he will provide a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. God is comforting in these words. He's in control. We should know, we've quoted, when you first become a believer, you learn Romans 8, 28. Friend, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Make sure you love God. And you're called according to his purpose. All things. Obey and serve. John 16, 33, a verse that really touches my heart. At the end of the, he's given a special message to his people, and he said to his disciples, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And that's a very important phrase there, because I don't think there's peace out there in the world. And I don't think people can have true peace. I think you get a false peace, and you could be deceived and think you do, or you're just in turmoil, trouble. There's one true peace, and I've seen it in my life, is in Him. You have peace. It's Him. I've shared many times in my life when I was going through great struggles, the Lord told me, He says, let it all go, give it to Him, and the flood, God's peace floods you. And God's peace, it says, but in me you made peace. In the world, you will have trouble, folks. It's natural. It's common. But take courage. I have overcome the world. Yeshua is in control, and He knows your situation. John 14:1. This is an amazing verse, John 14:1. This is really amazing. I mean, can you imagine the Lord says, do not let your heart be troubled. Why? Believe in God. That's good. God's going to take care of you. But then He had the nerve to say, you believe in God, believe also in. That's pretty, He putting Himself equal with God, the Father. Yeshua is God, and He has all power. So we see that we can trust Him to be able to, His control of all the circumstances. Let's follow along. Yeshua, because of that, has all power to save you and deliver you. You're going in your mind, all your problems, all the trouble that you have. Yeshua has the power to save and deliver you. Yeshua has power. First, I want to deal with this. His power and who He is. That's what John's telling us here. His power and who He is. Follow along. His power, John 11:17. So when Yeshua came, He found that He had already been dead. I love this. He had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Here is Yeshua's power, folks. One, He does the impossible. When Yeshua answers and gives peace and does He does the impossible so that you sit back and go, that's from the Lord. You just know it. Fran has seen it sometimes with me when I'm going through a little turmoil, little anguish, little anger, little difficulties. And I'm in the house and I'm ranting and raving, which you never see because I never rant and rave. I always am under control. And I'm having all kinds of trouble. And so I leave Fran and I go to my office. I have an office in the house as well. And I go to my office and I come back about 10, 15 minutes later. And Fran looks at me, what are you doing back here? I thought you were ranting and raving. I thought you were losing your mind. And she goes, well, you seem so calm and happy. I said, because He got a hold of me. He got a hold of me. If you get His perspective, you realize He's in control. He does the impossible. Just like that, He just changed your mood. Yeah, I said, yeah, just like that. I mean, there's other miracles He can do. I mean, He can open the sea, He can heal the blind, He can raise the dead. He can even change my attitude. Anyway, He does the impossible. Man at the pools of Bethesda, not walking, not moving for 38 years, and Yeshua give him strength. I mean, that's unbelievable. Just give him strength. You out of nowhere. The blind man, blind, John says, from when, folks? Impossible. Yeshua does His power. Lazarus, He says here, is in the tomb. Couldn't He have just said this? Everyone follow along. So when Yeshua came, He found that He had already been dead. Why is He 4 days? I've told you many times why He says 4 days. Because Jewish theology was 3 days, you're mostly dead. Jewish theology. Or if you've seen The Princess Bride, He's not all dead, He's mostly dead. Lazarus was mostly dead for 3 days. Actually, he was gone. Anyway. But John puts it on purpose. He said, 4 days, He's really gone. Miracle Max's pill wouldn't work on this one. He's really gone because Yeshua does the impossible. John 11, verse 18. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem. I told you about 2 miles off. If you have Jerusalem in the middle here, there's the Kidron Valley, the Valley of the Kings, Jehoshaphat's Valley, the Kidron Valley, Valley of the Kings, okay, Valley of Jehoshaphat. Then you have the valley, then up the Mount of Olives, the top, the Mount of Olives. And over the other side is Bethpage, and then 2 miles off, Bethany. Okay, many of the Jewish people had come to Mary and Martha, came to their house to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Yeshua was coming, went to meet Him. But Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Yeshua, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, she had faith. She knew that Yeshua could do that and could heal him. She could do the impossible. And so she said, you could have stopped it. You could have healed him. I don't think she's saying it in the wrong way. If you were only, you'd have been here. Even now I know. I'm not quite sure where she's going with this. Even now I know whatever you ask, God will give for you. They saw, they knew his power. John tells his power all along. And he's telling us all that Yeshua could do. And we see that in the book of John. He made it clear who Yeshua is, folks, whose power is. Follow along with me. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Okay, we're not sure what this vague meaning was. The Word, I could go into a whole thing. It says, in the beginning, something existed. It was called the Word. And the Word was with God. Now, he uses the word God to mean the Father at this point. So we know in the beginning, before the world, before anything was created, there was God the Father, and whatever this is, the Word, whatever it was, that's before time. And he says, before that was the Word, and the Word was with God, but the Word was God. Now, this is strange. So John is telling us there's God the Father and God the Word. That's what he's saying. He came in the beginning, he was in the beginning with the Father. When did Yeshua begin, folks? Not when he was born in Bethlehem. When did Yeshua have his beginning? When did he start? When was he come into existence, Yeshua? Everyone, tell me. Always was. Well, you know, the Father didn't one day say, hey, I'm going to make the Word. The Word always existed. He had no beginning and no end. And it says, and the Word was in the beginning with the Father. All things came into being through him. The Word created everything. I thought the Father created. He did. You're double talking. The Father created, the Son created. And apart from him, the Word, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life. The Word created everything, and the Word gives life to everything. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. Darkness didn't comprehend it. There was the light which coming into the world, enlightens all of us. Yeshua gives us light. He has it in himself, and he gives us light and life. Who is Yeshua? John chapter 2. The head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine. He did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. The head waiter called the bridegroom. They knew. He created out of nowhere. I always sit and think, well, there's water, and how did the chemists change the water into wine, what they did? You're going in the wrong direction. Yeshua creates things. He's the creator. Changed the water into wine. What else did John 5? Who is this man? Yeshua said to him, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. I would look at him and say, 38 years, what do you mean, pick up my pallet and walk? I can't move. Immediately, the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now, it was the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath. He always tells us it's the Sabbath. So the Jewish people would freak out. He's breaking the Sabbath. Yeshua never broke the Sabbath, folks. He broke the Pharisees' interpretation of the Sabbath. Well, who's to say what the Sabbath is? Yeshua is, because he made the Sabbath. He's the creator of the world. So he never broke the Sabbath. He didn't go against what he made. He knows what the Sabbath is. Anyway, John, he heals this man. 38 years that he did this. John 6, Yeshua says, have the people sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number of about 5,000. Yeshua took the loaves, broke the loaves, and he fed the 5,000, gave them the fish as well. And it says, verse 14, therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this truly is the prophet which is to come into the world. Moses gave the people manna. It wasn't Moses, it was God. But when you in Jewish thinking and theology, Moses gave all the people bread. We know it was God. Don't correct me later and say it wasn't Moses. God used Moses and the manna came down. We see, and it's on purpose, we're not getting into this, but Elijah does the same thing. Elijah creates bread for the people. There's a reason why God used Moses, then Elijah. Then after Elijah, Elisha, he gave them bread as well. The bread was a symbol of God's power and what God is doing. It was real. And God created. And so God is telling us, just like Moses the prophet, Elijah the prophet, Elisha the prophet, so Yeshua is in that same line. And they said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world, just like them. Now it's Yeshua. John 6, who is this Yeshua, they said? Creator, it says. When he had said this in John 6, he spat on the ground. He made clay of the spittle, applied the clay to the guy's eyes. And he says, go now wash in the pool of Siloam, which is called Sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Yeshua. He didn't have to spit on the clay. He didn't have to make the spittle or anything. He created new eyes. It's never been heard in all the world that someone born blind could see. Yeshua, who is this? There's only one answer, folks. He's God. He's not Junior. He's not a prophet. He is God himself doing this. He heals the deaf, the dumb, the blind, the mute, the leprosy. Who is this? His power. Who he is. But now I want you to see who he is. First, you saw his power. Who he is. The Bible tells us in John 11. Yeshua said to them, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Yeshua said, now I want you to write these things down or put them to your mind. A couple things that Yeshua is in this passage. One, he's the resurrection, whatever that might mean. Two, he's the light, whatever that might mean. Three, he's the Messiah. And four, he's the Son of God or God. Recently I was talking to someone here. They said, well, he's not God, he's the Son of God. Listen carefully, everyone. The term Son of God meant to them that he was God. It meant equal with God, equality with God, not someone who came after. The term Son of God, whenever he claimed to be the Son of God, the Jewish people did what? Everyone? Picked up stones to kill him because the claim Son of God meant that he was equal with the Father. So here it's telling us four things of who he is. We saw his power, but it's telling us, Yeshua said, I am the resurrection. She said, my brother will rise on the last day, the resurrection. Yeshua said, I am the resurrection. Amazing, his claims. I'm the life. I'm the resurrection. I raise. I give life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I remember one of the first times I really preached this. It was my mom's funeral, 1988. In 1988, when my mom passed away, and all her friends were there, and all the Jewish club was there. They had a thing called Mahjong. Anyone know Mahjong? Mahjong. They had the bridge club. They're all there, all the unsaved people. And her son's up there sharing that she became a believer in Yeshua, that she accepted the Messiah, and that she believed that he died for her sins. And they're all listening to me. And they said I was brave. I said, what are they going to do? I'm up there preaching. They're not going to walk out. It's a funeral. They're stuck. And I told them that my mom believed. And I read this verse. I remember. And it was silence like this. And I said, today, don't mourn for my mom. Don't mourn for my sister. Don't mourn for me. Mourn for yourselves. Because we have faith in Messiah, and you don't, because belief in him makes sure and guarantees I will be resurrected. Do you believe this? He said, I'm the resurrection. He believes in me shall live. That's what I said. My mom is not there. She is alive right now. And I said, that's the first time. And Yeshua is the resurrection. And it says, I'm the resurrection. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah. So we just said in this passage, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of God. Even he who comes into the world. When she said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher, he's calling for you, come. He's calling for you. And when she heard this, she quickly got up and was coming to him. Yeshua is the resurrection. He who believes in me shall be resurrected. He's the guarantee. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us, puts it this way. But now the Messiah has been raised from the dead. Yeshua has been raised from the dead. He's the first of all those who believe, the first fruits of those who die. Since by a man came death, so also by a man comes the resurrection. As in Adam, we all died. So in Messiah, all those who believe in him will live. But each in their own order. First Messiah, then, the first fruits, then all those who believe it is coming, Messiah. He is the resurrection. He's the resurrection for Lazarus, for us. John 5. Do not marvel at this, Yeshua said. An hour is coming in which all those who are in the tombs, everybody who are in the tombs, will hear his voice and they will come forth. Those who did the good deeds and believed and by faith believed in Yeshua, they did good deeds, will be at resurrection and life. This verse is telling us all people, all the tombs will all be resurrected. How do we know we'll be resurrected? Because Yeshua is the resurrection. When he speaks, all will be made alive. Some will go to heaven, some will go to hell, be separated from him. John 19, this is the resurrection, Job's hope. It says, as for me, Job says, I know my Redeemer lives, Messiah, the Son of God, lives, and he will take a stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. Job's guarantee of his resurrection. Yeshua is Job's resurrection. Yeshua is Daniel's hope, his resurrection. Many of those who sleep in the dust, the ground will awake. These to everlasting life, but some to other everlasting contempt. But as for you, Daniel, go your way till the end. Then you will enter into your rest. And then you will rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the day. Yeshua is the resurrection. He's the hope for all of us. I mean, I have confidence, complete confidence to say to anyone, I know I will be resurrected. I know I will be with him. How do you know? And I've said many times, people say, well, did anyone ever come back to tell you it's true? I said, yeah. And they say, besides him. Yeshua came back to say, he is the resurrection. He's my guarantee. I'm going to be raised. All of us. Not only that, he's alive. He's the one who gives me life. It says, John 1, verse 4, in him, in Yeshua only, was life. And the life was the light of men. Yeshua is the only one with life in himself. And he gives life to you and me. He gives hope to you and me, resurrection, life. Then Yeshua again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Yeshua is the resurrection. Yeshua is the light and the life. There's three, it said, Yeshua is the Messiah, the promised Messiah. We don't have time to go into all that. We do it all the time. But he's the guaranteed promised Messiah from the Jewish prophets, from the Old Covenant Scriptures. He's the one that Balaam prophesied, that the star will rise in Jacob. He's the one that Isaiah said would be born of a virgin. He was the one who would be despised and rejected. He's, according to Micah 5, he'd be the Messiah born in Bethlehem. According to Psalm 22, he would die by crucifixion. According to Daniel, he'd come before the destruction of the Jewish temple. He's the promised coming Messiah, the anointed one. Yeshua is, not only has all power and he's God, he's the resurrection. He's the light and life. He's the Messiah. And also he is the Son of God or God himself. When you do this, I want you to always know, our Jewish prophets in the Old Covenant and New tell us Yeshua is God, nothing less than God. Old Covenant Scriptures, I always go to three or four of them that you should always know. Micah 5:2, his goings forth are from the days of old, from the days of eternity. This Messiah is the Son of God. Isaiah, he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. The Messiah would be called the Mighty God. Jeremiah 23, his name will be called Adonai Tzidkenu, God, our righteousness. Our Jewish prophets said the Messiah would not just be a man, would not just be a prophet, would not just be a king, would not just be an anointed one. He would be God himself. Isaiah 48:16 tells us that the Father sent the Son, who is also God. Then you say, well, it's the news all over the place. Philippians chapter 2 says he's God. Hebrews chapter 1, the very radiance, the glory of God. It's all over the scriptures. Yeshua is none other than God. Well, when you say, well, he's limited. As a man, he was. He came and he veiled his powers. He veiled his powers even to himself while he was here on earth. That's why he could say, the Father knows the time and the day I'm coming back. Nobody knows here, not even me, on the earth. He veiled it. But everything else in the scripture tells us who Yeshua is. He is God. He has all power. That's who he is. And finally, Yeshua, because he has all power, because he is the Messiah, the Son of God, because the resurrection, the life, because of that, He can and will deliver us. He has that in himself. I love two passages I picked just for fun, actually. I just love it so much. When I'm talking about he can deliver you and save you. First one is in Exodus chapter 14. Follow along with me. We know the Jewish people came out of Egypt. They come to the Red Sea. God opens up the Red Sea. Jewish people are passing through, and the Egyptians are coming in after them. And I love the way Moses and God designed it. He speaks about it. Exodus 14. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen, went in after them. Into the midst of the sea, they come in there. I did that. Okay. But then I love it the way it says it. At the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the armies of Egypt through the pillar of fire and the cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. I almost get the picture. It's almost like if you could make a movie, you know, you see two big eyes. Although God doesn't have eyes. But if you could make it, you know, to relate to us. God's in heaven, the morning watch. God's looking down and goes, those crazy Egyptians, they're trying to destroy my people. It's like Balak says to Balaam, curse these people. And Balaam goes to God to curse the people. And Balaam says to God, God, there's this people here that Balak wants me to curse. I don't know if you know about these people. I feel like God said, excuse me, I created them. I took care of them. It's like Balaam's like telling God he doesn't know. There's a people, and he wants me to curse them. I feel like God said, yeah, I know the people. I made them. I created them. And now we see the Egyptians are coming in after him. And Yeshua, I believe the eyes are Yeshua. And I believe any form in the Old Covenant that shows a form or an image, I believe that's the Son of God. Burning bush, I think it's Yeshua. Three boys in the furnace, fire furnace. There's the fourth. That's Yeshua in there having good fellowship with the three guys. Any vision of God in the old, I believe, is Yeshua. Because the Bible, New Testament tells us he's the very image, the express image, exact representation of the Father. Yeshua is with them. And so, when the Egyptians are coming in, who's looking down, folks? Our Messiah, our Redeemer. The one who loves us, the one who prayed for us, the one who does everything for us, who can deliver. Yeshua's eyes and looking down, these crazy Egyptians, what are they doing? Great scene. And it says, he caused their chariot wheels to swerve. In the Hebrew, this is really cool. He made them drive with difficulty. Someone once put it like this, that he sees the chariots coming through and the Lord says, I think I'll knock that wheel over and take that wheel off, pluck the wheels off. They say that they're difficulties. It says, I think it's saying that he made the horses mad. The horses are going wild. The wheels are coming off. That's the picture here. Yeshua is doing it all from heaven. And so the Egyptians said, let's get out of here. Let's flee from these people, Israel. The Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. God is fighting because God sees that Yeshua in his power. He sees it all. He can and will deliver you. Another one I just picked here. Joshua comes out, takes the Jewish people. After Moses died, Joshua's on the other side of the Jordan River. God says, take them in. My servant Moses, he's dead. Joshua, you're the man. You and me, we're going in. We're going into the land of Israel. And so God says, all right, cleanse the people. Get them ready. Bring them across the Jordan River. Takes them through the Jordan River. Takes them to the other side. And Joshua's about to go over and destroy Jericho, Ai, the middle campaign, the southern campaign, the northern campaign, the book of Joshua. He's about to do all this. And before he does it, all of a sudden, who are you? There appears someone in front of Joshua, full army, regalia, and all that. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes. I'm ready. I've meditated. I've thought about it. Got my plan of attack. I got everything. Got the people. Got them purified. We're going in. We're going in. And so the night before, we're going in. All of a sudden, he lifts up. There's a man, a warrior. And it says, a man is standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua said to him, are you for us or against us? And he said, no, rather, indeed, I come now as the captain of the hosts of the Lord. Must have been incredible. Let me tell you who that was. That was Yeshua. That was the Messiah. That was the Son of God. That was the resurrection. That was the life. It was him. Joshua saw him. Just like when Isaiah lifted up his eyes, holy, 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 I see the vision of God. Who was that? That's Yeshua. All the pictures of God in the Old Covenant, that's Yeshua. He's the captain of the Lord. He's in charge of the armies of heaven. And Joshua said, are you for us or against us? Well, I'm the captain. All right. And what did Joshua do? The captain of the Lord of hosts. And he says to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground, just like God said to Moses. Actually, I would think Yeshua said it to Moses. And so Joshua did. You see, the scripture tells us Yeshua is in control. Yeshua has all the power. He can and will deliver you. He knows how he's doing. We can trust him in the worst, the most darkest situations. This passage John is writing, no matter how dark, Lazarus is dead. Just like, just made me think. God says to Joshua, Moses is dead. It's not Moses. It's me. I'm going to do it. No matter how dark, difficult, the problems you have. Don't tell me, Larry, you don't know. But he does. I don't know. I don't know how he's going to answer. He knows. God is all control. God will cares for us. He provides for us. He opens a door for us. God is in control. What do we do, everyone? We should trust and obey. We should trust and serve God through life's problems because he cares, he provides, and he can deliver us. Let's all bow for prayer. Father God, we thank you that you raised Lazarus for your honor and glory, to prove Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God. Lord, we have real problems today. Every one of us right now is lifting up their problems to you because they're real. They're common, but they're real and they're painful. Lord, we thank you that you are in control, that you have all power. Lord Yeshua, that you have the power and that you are God himself. Lord, help us to look to you and, as we keep saying, to trust you, to believe you, to obey you, and to serve you. We thank you, Lord. We also pray this morning for anyone here today who doesn't know the Messiah, who doesn't know you, Lord. Maybe today is the day God's speaking to you, that today you want to put your trust in the Messiah of Israel. The Bible teaches us you can have a relationship with God right now by simply, no formulas, but three things I always say. One, God, I believe I've sinned against you. Two, I believe Yeshua died for me. Three, I want to put my trust in him and accept what he's done for me. Father God, I pray for all of us this morning that we would put our trust in you, serve you, and obey you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time, this passage. We all pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.